Rookie Thievers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
And welcome back to Rookie Fever. Guess who's back? Back again. Travis is back. Back again. For another Rookie Fever Player Profile. How's it going?
Good. Glad to be back here with you. Talking another rookie. I know talked to Anthony Richardson with you on another show, but glad to talk about one of my favorite running backs now.
Yeah. And so before we got on, Travis is telling me how busy he is like throughout this process and the draft process and how he's blessing so many shows with his presence. Like truly, like dude is the man killing it. And that's on top of everything else he's doing, like your podcasts, College to Canton, Mojo Markets. We talked a lot about that on the last show, but I want to make sure people hear about it again here.
Yeah.
Then you have all the other stuff you do for other sites and other shows. I can't even like tell you how hard it was to schedule with Travis because of me. and this dude's like the most available dude to all of us. So I mean, kudos to you, man. I appreciate you a ton. At FF_TravisM on Twitter. How do you do it? Like what the heck, man? I'm missing something. Like what's your drink when you wake up? Drink of choice when you wake up?
They're probably not a sponsor, but Zip Fizz actually is really good. I got some
Zip Fizz.
Yeah, it's actually, you basically just pour it in, you get a big glass of water. You pour in some powder that has way too many vitamins, so much so that it's a little bit metallic-y at the end, but it's good.
It's
pretty good. Yeah, Zip Fizz, man. I'll get you going.
But, is it just like vitamins and protein?
Yeah, it's essentially, just a bunch of vitamins. Yeah, it's like, it'll wake you up, a little caffeine, but yeah, nothing crazy.
The secret to the mojo.
That's the secret sauce, man. But yeah, it's glad to be back here with you, man. It's been NFL draft season is so much fun. Like so many different shows to go on, so many players to talk about, markets to manage. It's just a blast. Like it's just weird. Like when I try to explain, like I'm pretty sure like half my family still doesn't understand. They don't understand my job. That's okay. That's fine. But that's just it's better that way, right? If it's easy to explain, it's probably not that much fun. So.
They're like, yeah, I don't know. I think he sells drugs or something, but he tells us that he does stuff for fantasy football and NFL. And he's doing all right, so we don't ask.
Yeah, but it's fun. So yeah, the Mojo stock market. That's what I have been working on since last fall. They brought me on to create the first, especially the college football portion that really hadn't really been done anywhere, but. Fully regulated stock market type betting app that you can actually bet on stocks like bet on athletes like their stocks. I can invest in athletes like they're a stock, and it's based on real life stats. So player X does this on the field, their stock goes up. Like it's very straightforward. But it's lots of news and buy and sell action goes into the price as well. But it's a lot of fun. If there's a banked portion to a player's value and a future value the portion of the price as well. Banked being what they've already done on the field. So like older players, when they accrue a bunch of stats, like their stock isn't going to drop below that banked aspect of their profile. But if they're, a younger player who's already done something, like for instance, like Patrick Mahomes, like he's already banked like $50 of what we call mojo value, but he's still expected to get, more than double that for the rest of his career because he's freaking Patrick Mahomes. So users basically just get to bet on whether they think the price is too low or too high based on his remaining future expected value. So. It's really fun. And people are loving it so far. And once we actually get to more states, it's going to blow up and be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that one will grow. Yeah,
absolutely. It already has just within New Jersey where we are live and tradable now. And man, March Madness was absolutely wild. Like having like single game type call and put options. Like I don't know if you mess around with the stock market very much, but like, single game type short term call and put options were just a blast. Basically like single game player level type bets or investments.
Yeah, I want to dig into that. And like you said, even if you're not, you can't play in your state, you can still get on to check out some of the values and how the market is operating, correct?
Yeah, and I've been on a couple of shows where they've just realized, that's interesting because there's all these people investing and they're putting their money where their mouth is. Like, you really get a view of what the market actually is on a player. Like, there's an actual dollar amount assigned to players. Like, it's an interesting way to kind of view Dynasty. Because especially with these prospects, like, all of their value is future value. So you're really getting a good gauge of what large sample consensus is.
Time to get into the Rookie Fever player profile.
Let's do it.
And for this show, you picked Zach Evans.
Yeah, man.
One of my favorite positions before Superflex became my format of choice. Why did you pick Zach Evans?
I think I picked Zach Evans because people don't know what to do with Zach Evans. So, and not that I have all the answers, but I just love talking about him because he's been such an intriguing prospect for so long. Like, I don't know if you follow football recruiting that much for like high school into college.
Not with Zach Evans. I'm starting to get into it a little bit more, getting into more like college leagues and college to can't and whatnot. So,
yeah,
I'm starting to a little bit more.
Yeah.
Not when Zach Evans was coming out.
Yeah. Well, one thing I don't think a lot of people understand is that, like, the stars of the recruiting class that are all early declares this year, like, it was Bijan Robinson, obviously. You know, he was a five-star. Everyone knew it. Tank Bigsby was right there on the fringe of five-star. He was teetering back and forth between five-star designation throughout his final two seasons of high school. But the other name up there at the very top of everyone's board for more than 2 years was Zach Evans. In fact, he was ahead of one Bijan Robinson for the majority of their high school careers. And really the only reason that he ended up getting surpassed at the last second where all the recruiting services settled their actual final rankings was because he was being such a weird drama queen about his like committing and decommitting and, you know, just being like, I don't care, I'm not going anywhere. Like, just being really odd, kind of burning bridges for months to the point at which he was still unsigned, like going into May of his, final year before he had to choose where he was going to college. And then he landed at TCU, which seemed like a really trash landing spot. Because, you know, I don't think to this day still we've seen a fantasy point generated by a TCU running back, since LaDainian Tomlinson retired. So it's not known for giving us a bunch of fantasy studs, at all. But he ended up, going to TCU. But he was still like that five-star back, just keep his head straight or whatever. I don't know. And he was okay, that first year. They didn't hand him the keys to the offense. But the second year, in 2021, they're like, okay, you're ready. We're going to make you our feature. And in six games, he had over 100 touches, almost 800 yards from scrimmage. Like, he was on pace for like 1,500, 1,600 yards. And then he went down with injury, he transferred to Ole Miss and okay, that's odd. I don't know why he transferred. He was going to be the feature back. That's a little weird. He already had the bumpy recruiting journey. And then he goes to Ole Miss and he, we think, hey, he's going to be the feature back. The only competition is this like three-star back named Quinshon Judkins. And then Quinshon Judkins, outperforms him. People are like, man, he has this confusing recruiting journey. He gets injured, transfers. He should be the feature. He still put up over 1,000 yards from scrimmage, but wasn't the lead guy and was second fiddle to a true freshman. Are we sure this guy's good? And so that's why he's so confusing, I think, to so many people.
I mean, yeah. That doesn't – this seems like we're going down the Anthony Richardson path again.
No. I'm not going to be that negative on this one. Sorry.
No, I love it though. Like that's what I like about these shows. And I think that's what it's all about is being honest and transparent. And I think that you're one of the best at being able to see both sides of it, the good and the bad, and not just get behind the hype when there is some. And I think that that's kind of what you're pointing out with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. But I will say, there's plenty to love again with Richardson, and the upside is tantalizing. There's plenty of upside with Zach Evans. Like, if he can really put it together and he looks like the prospect that we thought he could be coming into college, like, I mean, his best comp was Nick Chubb coming into college. Like, the upside was immense. It was very real. And in his one feature year, with TCU or half of Petrie year, he was averaging almost 8 yards per touch. Like, he was an absolute monster. And even last year, he was really, really efficient. Even against SEC competition, he was still around 7 yards per touch against SEC competition. And while he didn't have the same level of volume that Judkins did, he was more efficient as a receiver. He was more efficient as a runner. So, yeah, really fantastic prospect overall. And then at his pro day, he ran like a, I think it was 4.46 or so. So he has the athleticism. He has the pedigree. He has, you know, in a smaller sample, receiving ability. So it's really hard not to still rank him as a top five running back, despite his bumpy road to arrive at this point.
I've heard rumblings of concern about his vision. Is that something that you feel like you see while you're watching any of the tape?
I don't, other than the fact that, you know, he may at some time, sometimes like overfollow the play design, I guess, you know, just thinking he can beat the hole before it closes, or he can beat defenders to the gap because he just has it, that kind of athleticism where he can really beat players to a spot. But if he gets over reliant on his ability to beat players to a spot, it can look like he just didn't see a defender. It can look like he didn't see, you know, a hole closing or whatever. But overall, no, I don't see that concern much. It's just maybe an over-reliance on his ability at times, but overall, that's not really been an issue that I see.
What do you think he does well to make him successful in the NFL? 6 foot, 215.
I think it's really, overall, like, in a way, that same problem that you just alluded to, and I mentioned it, that overconfidence in his ability has to do with the fact that he kind of decides pretty quickly where to go with the ball, and that decisiveness actually is what makes him rather special. I think from time to time, we see him move away from that maybe slightly, but overall, I think his conviction and his first decision and ability to cut up field and get yardage is why he's so efficient. And so I think that's why one reason why he succeeds, but he also has fantastic balance. He has fantastic play strength and just overall technique in terms of just where his body is, versus a defender as they arrive to one another. I mean, that's getting into the nitty gritty, but like just how you angle your pads, how you angle your body to deflect off contact. How do you get in position to, you know, add an additional yard on every play? And I think he just does that really well. He's been a technically sound runner and a ferocious runner, that we have been really among the nerdiest circles projecting him to be like Nick Chubb level runner since he was 17 years old. Because he has the physicality, he has the balance, he has sufficient decision making, and really there's not much that you don't see when it comes to athleticism either. So I would have loved him to participate in everything at the combine. He chose to, you know, focus more on his pro day and really, I guess, work on getting those agility times to non-embarrassing levels, because he didn't really wow in that regard at his pro day either. But he has every skill in his back pocket that you would want from a running back prospect. So we're probably in a very deep running class. He might be one that gets overlooked and ends up being the best one of the bunch. That potential is there.
How do you personally feel about a running back's pro day versus what you see on the field?
I mean, once it gets to this point, like, I don't necessarily care too much about what they do on the pro day. And I don't even care how much we discount the times at the pro day. I don't necessarily care. Like, if there's going to be a major red flag as it pertains to speed, or honestly, that's probably all I care about, because like I'm really only concerned about how it affects their draft capital. Because like agility scores don't necessarily kill a running back's draft capital, or like their broad jump. You don't see somebody like post a lower level broad jump and then, you know, they go and draft it. You know, the signal in terms of like most drills tied to predicting draft capital is pretty low. But if they fall below a certain threshold in 40, that's concerning. But besides that, like I don't care. Like I've seen, you know, in many cases, 3 full seasons of production from these players. And I've probably been following most of them since they were a junior in high school already. So I've gotten enough data points on them that I'm not too concerned about how they do at the pro day.
So, and I don't want you to force this because it seems like you're not seeing a lot, but do you have any concerns?
I mean, just, I think wherever he's gone, to some extent, it seems that this has been both confirmed and at least inferred in every spot that he's rubbed people the wrong way. Whether it was back to his Georgia and then not Georgia days, to his a few other programs and then not a few other programs days in recruiting, to TCU really rubbing the people the wrong way for most of his entire freshman year, to the transfer out of TCU, to apparently not earning a feature back role and competing with, you know, the true freshman, and you know, his usage being inconsistent. What was the reason for that? So I think whatever it is.
No, I like that, Travis. So are you implying that some of those issues maybe took away from his playing time, not his abilities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like that, yeah, that seemed to be an issue for, I don't know, at every stop. So I can't really confidently say that that's the case, but that is a worry. So I think if there is any worry, it's not like a huge red flag. It's just like, what the heck was going on, dude? Like, what was the deal? Like, was it academics? Mm-hmm. What was it? Like, I don't know him personally. So I'm like, I'm not going to say, hey, Zach, you're clearly a problem in the locker room, but it seems that there's a lot of smoke there that was the case. And so, that might be a legitimate concern,
which could be a good thing as well. If he gets, because then, and he does get his playing time at that point.
Yeah, I mean, like, if this is a red flag that some people actually dig into and understand, and that worries them enough to not draft him, it could be a real value on draft day.
Sometimes there's more of a chance that a coach in college is going to hold a grudge than in the NFL once they have draft capital and they're trying to play their most talented player. I don't know. Yeah, so I kind of like that. It made me like him more. I probably wasn't supposed to, but
yeah, he's got this red flag, man. I was like, oh man, I love him more now.
I like it. So now we've mentioned Sir Nicholas Chubb so many times that I want him to land in Cleveland behind Chubb.
That would be fun if he was like the heir apparent to that type of situation.
Yeah,
that would be interesting. It would really hurt his immediate production, at least the ceiling, I guess. But that would be interesting, because if he could learn from one of the best running backs in terms of just pure rushers, pure runners, in the last decade plus, you know, and have a role model to look up to that's just going to, you know, treat him, you know, maybe make him a better pro. But yeah, I could see that. But I'd love more of an instant impact. Hey, you know, 1,500 yards is the ceiling type opportunity. But I think I'm afraid that the entire 2017 draft class is still preventing that for a lot of players.
Yeah. That was a fun draft class.
I mean, it's basically like half the starters in the league at this point. Like it's an absurd number of running backs if we really get into like who's still kicking and producing in the NFL.
It gets harder and harder to think of a landing spot where you can get opportunity like that coming out the gate, especially with free agency and everything. Where is a landing spot? Like, do you have a spot that you've thought about a little bit for him?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see somebody land as the new Zeke for the Cowboys. Like, Tony Pollard is good, and he's been a fun story, especially coming out of Memphis as like a gadget back. You know, like he was there, you know, in the prime of like Memphis running backs, where they were just churning out a few running backs, it seemed like, every year. But you know, he's not really a feature. I know that people want to act like he is. He's just not, and so we shouldn't try to make him something that he isn't. I think, you know, make him the next Zeke producer, and that would be fantastic. That would be ideal. Anybody that goes there should be an instant impact playmaker. And that's probably number one. But, you know, it depends on a few other pieces that might still move. Like, there's buzz that Austin Eckler might go elsewhere, and then the Chargers opportunity is huge. That would be a big one. You know, some people, you know, aren't sure that the Falcons aren't just going to draft over Tyler Allgeier. Some people aren't sure that the Chiefs aren't just going to draft over Isaiah Pacheco. You know, a few of those other situations that would just be like an absolute slam dunk would be pretty fun.
Yeah. And even Damian Pierce, there's a couple, even with them getting Singletary, I'm still curious what's going to happen there too. What do you feel like consensus is on Zach Evans in the dynasty community?
I think people who play like Debbie fantasy leagues probably value him a little bit more because they've known who he is for a long time. He's been up high on the rankings that people have been watching for years. But for the people that are just tuning in this February, which is probably like, I don't know, 75% plus of the people in dynasty leagues, I think they're a little bit more skeptical. They're like, wait, why did he struggle here? Wait, why did he get injured in the transfer? Wait, what? All these things. He doesn't look like our normal profile. Like, why is everyone so hype on him? So like, there's that we're just kind of at this in between where people like me are optimistic that there's huge potential, but I have questions. And then there's people that are like, I think I'll just take somebody else. And so I think for most part, he's falling out of like the top four rankings for a lot of people at this point.
Trying to think of somebody that's not Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall. And then there's that in between of like, so would you take, trying to rank him with last year's class, but it seems like it was either those top or then the tier break is huge. So it's kind of not that fun.
Yeah, so it's hard to gauge where Zach Evans actually fits, but I think he's kind of in that what do they call it in redraft? Like the no man's land running, what do they call it? Like the dead zone running backs? Is that what it is?
The dead zone.
Yes, like he's probably right in that like zone for redraft, like based on his capital and maybe his opportunity. So capital and landing spot is going to be, I mean, not like it's important for everyone, but especially for a guy with a bumpy profile like Evans. We want a clear opportunity.
I don't know what I think about the dead zone, because that's like kind of came out the last couple seasons. It seems like it's gotten popular.
Yeah.
People, I hate the dead zone.
Like it. Yeah, it's a term now. People just say like, well, I don't know what like round around it is, but people just say like, you know, running backs in that range, like there's certain criteria that running backs fit in that range that usually get reached upon. And it's usually smart to just go with a different position in those rounds in general. But yeah, but I mean, it's just, I think that there are every single year, there are two or three running backs in that zone that when they hit, they jump up into that range of being an absolute difference maker. And in the right opportunity, that could be one Zach Evans.
Yeah. I like it. You've actually got me excited about Zach Evans. It's because of his attitude.
Sounds good, man.
Any player, any position. Cannot be Anthony Richardson. I lied. It's not any player. Any player but Anthony Richardson, any position, somebody you will not touch in your drafts, you will not be trying to trade for in your Debbie leagues, whether it's the price is too high, you just don't agree with it, but somebody that will not be on Travis May's team.
Okay, so just a player, and like not just rookies, like anybody? Or just
a rookie.
Rookies?
Try to do a rookie. If you have a player afterwards, I'd love to hear it. I think it'd be a great addition, but
rookie that will not be on any of my rosters, no matter what. That will be Mr. Billy Jeans himself, Will Levis. I say Billy Jeans, you get it, you know, like Levi's, you know, Levis, whatever. Anyway, Billy Jeans.
Billy Jeans is not your number.
No, he is not going to be on the single roster. I don't care where he gets drafted. I don't care what happens to anyone else in the draft, there's absolutely 0% chance that I have him anywhere on any roster at any point and not taking him. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, because even if he gets down to the range in the draft, we're like, I can stomach taking him right here. I'd still probably want to take a running back I have in a similar tier over him just every single time. And that's mainly because his peak, you know, passing profile is just right at or right below like the minimum threshold to really succeed in the NFL. He doesn't really have difference-making mobility. Like, even when he was healthy, he was mobile enough, you know, to, like, not be an absolute barf, like, prospect. But, you know, like, this past year, he struggled because he was, you know, had the ankle thing. And, you know, I was more impressed by his ability to push through that and find some success, I guess, last year. But he's going to be overdrafted everywhere. In the real NFL draft, in fantasy drafts, and his upside is low. And his, I don't know, there's just not literally nothing appealing about his profile. Sorry, Mr. Billy Jean. Billy
and Jean, who was that other player that popped into your head quick when you thought that you had the entire playing field and you were going to say a current NFL player?
Oh, I was much more worried about having to come up with one in that regard. Because I was like, I don't know. All the players, I don't know.
Oh, got you. I thought you had one. I felt like it was.
No. Although I will say, like, I will not have any, you know, Aaron Rodgers, nor do I envy anyone who has him on their roster. So, yeah. But, yeah.
One more piece of your brain. Give him a little bit more advice from Travis May on our way out.
Oh, man. Just, I guess, more than anything, when it comes to rookie draft season, don't overreact to any kind of singular bit of information or double count information that you already know. I think we do that. We talked about that a little bit on the Anthony Richardson show. But mm-hmm. more than anything, just sift through the massive sea of gross and wrong information and don't overreact to any singular piece of it, and you'll do okay. Follow the wisdom of the crowd to an extent by just not overreacting to any singular variable that would put too much confidence in the wrong prospect. That's what I try to do in the midst of the season, because like I've been following most of these players for 5+ years, and you know it's easy to get sucked in at the last minute with some last second bit of information I didn't know, and you know completely change my opinion on them. But just don't just go with your gut and trust what you already know, and you're going to be happier with the outcome, even if it's the wrong one.
Yeah, I love it. It's the good old trust your gut.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
a little bit.
Don't overreact. Yeah,
Travis, tell them all about yourself and anything else you want to plug, and we'll get out of here.
Absolutely. So, I mean, like I said, just really thankful to be where I am in life. Really, to have gone from writing for a fantasy site that doesn't exist anymore back in the mid-2010s to my first Dynasty podcast with Justin McCasland, Dynasty Life, to, you know, a bunch of work with RotoViz and awesome like other sites to get where I am now, to be able to like work in football full time with Mojo. Just thankful for that opportunity and really excited to be working on the first ever fully regulated sports stock market. And so just be on the lookout for that as it becomes available in your state. It's going to be a lot of fun as that continues to grow and more, you know, sports are available. I'm particularly excited about Major League Baseball launching here in just a few weeks, like right before the NFL draft. So be looking for more information on that. But you can find me on on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. If you just want to talk some football or Star Wars or anything else, I don't care. And then my College Decanton podcast with Stefan Lecoe, you can find on our own feed or RotoViz Radio, but that's about all I'm doing these days. But, dude, thanks again for having
me.
That's
all he's doing. He's doing a ton. Dude, Dynasty Life that had to be one of my first three Dynasty podcasts.
Oh, nice.
Back in the day. I mean, I think it was for a lot of people. I love that you mentioned that. But yeah, like Dynasty Life was like, and it was like Under the Helmet was around. And yeah. There were just a few, you know, and it was good stuff. And you didn't have to sift through this massive. And like, shout out to everybody doing it. I'm not trying to, you know, but you didn't. I don't know. It was just good stuff. And,
I appreciate that, man. It was fun.
It shows in your work that you are where you are. So that's awesome, man.
I appreciate it, man.
Dynasty Life. Funny. Holy shit.
I know, man. Like, it just seems like it's crazy to think that, you know, less than 15 years ago, like the people that played Dynasty at the time were just like, you know, scrounging around and like horribly pixelated message boards trying to make trades and like meet new people with different strategies, and like there wasn't even a way to play Devi really, like you had to, it was all like on spreadsheets and oh my gosh,
yeah, your draft picks were on spreadsheets, dude, and
oh gosh, things have come so far in the last
only one like, person in your league had the Dynasty trade calculator.
even knew it existed. I mean, it was brand new. Like, I remember I started writing for them, I think the second year they even existed. And the whole community,
come a long
it's
way.
Been amazing. Yeah, no, it's been so cool just to see so many new faces and people grow and just the whole space. You know, like when I first started writing and podcasting about Dynasty, people didn't even know what Dynasty was. And now I have friends that know what Devi is. Now I have friends that know what Campus Decanton Leagues are. Like that's that's wild. So
yeah, quite the evolution.
Yeah, it's just such a short period of time.
I appreciate you a ton, Travis. I've enjoyed our time. Have to have you back on for some more shows. I am at Swagzilla0G, and this is at Rookie Fever, and we are out. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun.
there's something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this to be throwing run. I told you anyone's size must be just unreal. Landing spot not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we get a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.